This is WMUK's West Southwest Brief. I'm Gordon Evans. Three entries from Western Michigan University are part of a National Science Foundation competition to shape the future of science. 33 entries were selected for the NSF's 2026 Idea Machine. One of WMU's three entries is called Hashtag Why Not Me, STEM Diversity Drivers.
Why not me?
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 I spoke with Western's Vice President for Research, Terry Goss Kinsey, who's also a professor of biological sciences, Lori Wingate, Director of Research at WMU's Evaluation Center, and Western Professor of Geography and Science Education, Todd Ellis. Explain how this got started at Western Michigan University to try and come up with these entries for the National Science Foundation initiative.
I was fortunate to hear about the NSF Idea Machine at a conference I attended last summer in Montana, and I was really intrigued with the idea of getting the best and brightest ideas from Western Michigan out on a national format. I talked to President Montgomery. He was equally enthusiastic, and so we decided to really promote this at Western to try and really get people to share things that they thought could transform science and education in the next 8 to 10 years in this country.
So let me ask, what does why not me mean?
So I happen to be someone who finds social media a really interesting platform for national dialogue. And so the idea of hashtag why not me was to take something where someone might say that in a negative way, why not me? There's a lot of reasons why people can be intimidated by a career in STEM. But if you turn that around and you say, why not me? You celebrate all of the reasons why you could be successful in a career in STEM.
Terry Goss Kinsey says the project recognizes barriers, but also finds successful people in STEM. The director of research for Western's Evaluation Center, Lori Wingate, says finding the right people can help answer the question, why not me?
I was really inspired by actually NPR's StoryCorps, so which I think is just amazing. So all these wonderful, rich stories of real life. And I just thought, what if we tap that sort of format to actually gather a whole new kind of data about what drives people into STEM or keeps them out of STEM? So we're all, you know, in our research and evaluation now, we're very constrained to starting from what we already know to investigating a few variables that we think are important. But what if we just blew that wide open and listened to people's really the rich details of their lives and use the technology that's now emerging, so artificial intelligence technology, to mine that data to build something from the ground up for a much richer understanding.
Is the idea to do it in the StoryCorps format of like an oral history, or is it some other way that you try to bring these stories out?
We thought of five questions that we thought would be extremely illuminating, just asking people what their job is and what they love about their job, when they first knew they wanted to work in STEM, and if there was an event, a person, or experience that was really pivotal in helping them to realize that that's what they wanted to do, and importantly, if there was ever a time that they doubted they could be successful in STEM and how they overcame that barrier.
So beyond the ideas of fairness and equality, what are the reasons that we should want women, minorities, and maybe other underrepresented groups to find their way into STEM fields?
There's a major economic reason why STEM is so critically important to the competitiveness of the U.S. economy. They are some of the best jobs that we have out there, and we know that we have a shortage of people in areas like computer science, many forms of engineering, physics. If we don't tap the full potential of everyone in this country, and we know many children are fascinated by science, how do we keep them in there? We won't be able to fill the jobs that we have.
Todd Ellis, how would the teaching and learning incubator work?
Well, the incubator idea borrows from the tech incubator, which has been around since the 90s. The idea is that when somebody has an entrepreneurial idea, they go to one of these incubators and get not only the technical support they need, but access to resources they might not be able to afford, and the support to take their idea out and put it in the real world. A teaching and learning incubator is trying to take that same idea, letting teachers who normally don't have the time or the resources to be able to innovate something truly unique in their classroom and afford them the chance to play, give them equipment to work with, figure out how they'd use it, and then support them as they go try it in their own classroom.
I think they've had the one-on-one interaction with their students, and I think they're... That day-to-day interaction helps them figure out what kids are willing to do, what they want to do, and what they are able to do.
Do the teachers you talk to, because there's some of them in your video, do they feel like they're left out of planning and developing and coming up with ideas for the classroom?
Some of the teachers do feel like they're left out, largely because of time as the number one limiting factor. They have certain standards they need to meet now, and they need to know that what they're using is going to work and get the job done. So they use previously vetted ideas, and oftentimes that doesn't lead to hands-on activities. What I have also heard then from some of the teachers is that the other resource is being able to afford some of the equipment that some of their ideas might require. They can't ask their school boards or the principal to go out and buy them a lot of equipment just to try something to see if it will work. So we're trying to take the privilege out of this and make it so people can come in and play with the very equipment they would use, borrow it, and then they didn't have to lay out those expenses.
Is a competition a more interesting way to try to get ideas generated than just saying, hey, let's meet for lunch, or, you know, let's try to, over the course of a semester or two, come up with some things related to science and science teaching?
I think the exciting thing about the NSF Idea Machine is that this competition was open to anyone 14 years of age or older who is a citizen or permanent resident of the United States. So frequently when we're talking, we may be talking to teachers, other faculty, maybe people in industry. But in this case, we actually are opening this up to people all across the country. Anyone could submit their ideas and anyone can comment.
Terry Goss-Kinsey is Western's Vice President for Research and a Professor of Biological Sciences. We also heard from the WMU Evaluation Center's Director of Research, Lori Wingate, and Western Professor of Geography and Science Education, Todd Ellis. The third entry from Western in the National Science Foundation's 2026 Idea Machine is called Reversibility, Future of Life on Earth.
We may move the boundary between what is currently irreversible versus reversible. And this may be key to solving some of our planet's most pressing problems.
You can hear more about that in the extended version of the interview, available in WMUK's West Southwest, from Apple Podcasts, and by searching for podcasts in Google Music. It can also be found at WMUK.org and the WMUK app. For WMUK, I'm Gordon Evans.